This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. We'll be with you for the next 2 hours. It's a bye week, so a bye week show. Don Bailey Jr. joins us momentarily. Tim Reynolds will also be with us from the Associated Press. Of course, Tim always with us on our pregame show. And in between DBJ and Tim will make another appearance with the president of the University of Miami. Tim did a really nice one-on-one interview with Joe Echevarria, the new president of the University of Miami. So we'll hear a long excerpt from that interview coming up in about 15 minutes or so. Hour number two, Scott Howard joins Don Bailey and I. Scott Howard, former University of Miami assistant basketball coach, now a scout with the Denver Nuggets. And Scott's got a really good, unique, I think, perspective on where college athletics is today and where it's going and what is important to the pros and how that relates to college athletes. So we'll dive into that topic in hour number two. And Tricia Culp will also join us here at the end of hour number two to talk about University of Miami women's basketball. And that's all coming up. Coach Culp announced today the signing of five players for the women's basketball team, gives them a highly recruited, highly rated recruiting class. Coach L announced two players signing letters of intent. So his recruiting class inside the top 10. So a signing day today in basketball and women's basketball, doing a good job. Coach L also fortifying his team with two more freshmen. So puts them in the top 10 in recruiting. And of course, I imagine both will attack the transfer portal in the offseason. So that is what is coming up on the show. We welcome Don Bailey Jr., my broadcast partner. We've got a bye week. Canes will take on Wake Forest next week at 12 o'clock at Hard Rock Stadium. Our broadcast will begin at 8 a.m. This week, a bye week, so we lick our wounds for a week, Don Bailey, after a tough loss to Georgia Tech.
It was real tough, Joe, and I think it's fortunate, really, that Miami does have an off week right now. They've got a coming off the loss, and obviously if you saw the game or listened to the game, you realize that there's a lot to work on, and you've got an opportunity to improve as a football team before you finish out your two remaining games of the season, one, of course, at home against Wake Forest, and the next one on the road right after Thanksgiving against Syracuse. And the fact of the matter is, you win both of those games, you are in the ACC conference championship game. And if you win that game, you are going to go to, skip the first round of the playoffs and go right, wait till the end of December, and you will compete as winner of the ACC. So while the loss puts you in a situation where if you lose the ACC championship game, it may be a struggle to get into the playoffs. But if not, you can still hit your destiny. You still have a chance to do whatever you set out to do, but you got to win. And that's right now, you know, if you win, you're in. If you don't, you're in big trouble.
Yeah. Well, two things stand out about that going forward. One, I think, is less problematic. That being, going to that game, Georgia Tech, in three of their four losses, had given up 31 points. So I thought that was the number, 31. Miami got 23. They left points out on the field. There were opportunities for Cam Ward probably to make a few more plays. There were a couple of guys open, a couple of drives short-circuited. So they left points out on the field. They can't do that against Wake or Syracuse because both those teams can score. And then stopping the run, or I don't know if we should put it into stopping the run or just giving up the big play. I guess it kind of goes hand in hand. The run numbers are a bit perplexing. Overall, you look at Miami's run numbers and say, yeah, very good. You look at the Georgia Tech game and say, really struggled in that department. Look at other games and say, numbers are good, but there's always one play that slips through the defense. So either way, they kind of have to clean that stuff up.
Well, you do, Joe. And Miami lost the football game in a fashion that they're not used to. I mean, we've all lived on the edge of our seats quite a few times, whether it was Virginia Tech or whether it was Cal, or, you know, there was a period during the Duke game. And, you know, Miami, the team thought that they can play, I guess, a certain way. And when it comes down to it and you need a final drive, you'll be able to get it. And that was not the case. And the game plan of Georgia Tech, I thought, was well thought out. It was simply keep away. Keep away from the number one offense in America, the number one scoring offense in America. Keep away from a quarterback that's probably going to, and deservedly so, win the Heisman Trophy. And we'll chew clock and we'll run the football and score our points. And we think we'll be able to eat enough clock and play good enough defense to win the football game. And they did.
Well, what was interesting about that game plan is when you say play keep away and you look at the time of possession and it's plus 10 for Georgia Tech, they have 10 more minutes. But if you dig in there, when we're doing the game, you look over and go, wait a minute, Cam Ward hasn't been out on the field for like 30 minutes in real time. He hasn't touched the ball in 30 minutes in real time. Yep. And that is really disruptive.
Well, I mean, I think you'll remember in the booth, I saw that drive where it was 10 minutes and 45 seconds and it was 17 plays. And right then and there, I knew that there was going to be problems. And when you are able to control the football like that and execute at the level that they did and chew up 11 minutes of clock and 30 minutes of real time, it's hard to overcome that. You know, in full transparency, I thought the first drive that Georgia Tech had, there was four plays and a touchdown. I says, okay, well, they're going to come out and play that way. And then Miami answered two plays and a touchdown. And I says, well, now we're in for it. Now it's going to be, you know, a 68-69 game or something like that. And it didn't turn out that way. And everybody settled down and they did it. Their game plan was to play physical brand of football offensively and chew the clock, and defense was going to make Miami be patient and take the outlet throws and take away the big play. And Miami didn't take enough outlet throws and the big play didn't connect enough.
No. And they're probably, well, there are a lot of different places where the game changed, but in this autopsy, I think, it's 7-7. Miami settles for a field goal. Arroyo is probably running down the middle of the field wide open. Cam doesn't see him. Mm-hmm. Beginning of the third quarter. Is that the one I think they scored the touchdown on that gets waved off? So no touchdown. You think you're in the end zone, but you're not in the end zone. So that drive gets short-circuited. So those two kind of stand out at you. And if you get a lead in that game, maybe the mindset is different for Georgia Tech.
Yeah, well, the approach that they took offensively was, I didn't get the feeling that they could catch up. You know, right. They really had to work hard and keep the lead, and they had to work extremely hard to hold on to the football and be productive, and they did. and took advantage of some inexperience in Miami's secondary, and it worked to their benefit. But, you know, if Miami had gotten out to a 10-point lead or a 14-point lead at some point in the game, I think it would have been very, very difficult for Georgia Tech to come through.
Well, I would agree with you, since they had a one-arm quarterback.
Well, that one-arm quarterback is fourth in the nation at 72 completion percentage. So, you know, he does have one arm, but when he uses that other arm, he throws a completion. Hell, he was 6 for 6, and that's all he needed to be. You know,
he had two legs. He had two legs. That was what served him.
Yeah, it really did. And the thing that I was impressed with, not surprised with, because I watched him play a year ago, was I was impressed with the fact is that he was hurt, and he, from what all the information I have and the things that I saw, is that he wasn't going to sit out. That head coach wasn't keeping him off the field, and I like that attitude, and it showed. He's that kind of guy, and you know here you are in the ACC. Haynes King's got one 300-yard passing game, and Cam Ward and Kyle McCord of Syracuse. Cam's got 9, and Kyle's got 8. But you know the best quarterback for his team was on the field for Georgia Tech last week, and the kid just played a phenomenal football game, and he played within the plan.
That he did. Okay, next up is Wake Forest. We'll dive into that next week, more next week. But Wake Forest is coming up. They've got a game this week against North Carolina. They play Saturday night at 8 o'clock. They can score. I always call their offense the great equalizer offense. Warren Ruggio is their offensive coordinator. They run that mesh offense, spread you out, the mesh offense. Backmire's their quarterback. Wide receivers that know how to get open. He knows how to game plan guys to get open. They can score. They have a hard time defending.
Yeah, they do. You know, you look at them and they play a game that is very well suited to their talent, and they recruit to that. And they recruit in a way that you know the quarterback is going to be successful running the football. They've got older, experienced guys on the offensive line. Their defense it's got a few transfers on it, but you know, the defensive front in today's world might be a little bit undersized, but they're certainly going to be in the right place to make plays. And they're troublesome. I mean, this is a team that has won a bunch of bowl games over the last few years and have been very, very successful in the postseason. And everybody looks at them and says, how can they do this? And they just keep doing it. Now they're having a little bit of an off year this year. But you look at them and you go back and say to yourself, well, how'd they do it? Well, they had Sam Hartman, who's, you know, playing for Washington right now at quarterback. So, you know, they find their players, and there's nothing that would make their season more enjoyable than to upset Miami.
Well, we're not going to put that out in the universe. We can't have that. Miami's got to get to the championship game. 2 wins, they get to the championship game. That's the path right now. 3 wins takes them probably to the Peach Bowl against somebody from the Southeastern Conference, I would imagine. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on. Coming up next, Tim Reynolds sat down with University of Miami President Joe Echevarria. So we're going to hear that interview. Then Tim's going to join us for the final segment of this hour. Scott Howard joins us in hour number 2. And Tricia Culp will also be with us as well. So we'll continue on the hotline here in 1 second. Let me talk to you about Williamson Cadillac, Miami's luxury dealership, founded over 50 years ago. And you know what? That's the holidays knocking on the door right around the corner. And if you are in the market for a new automobile, may I suggest Williamson Cadillac. If you want to be treated like family, you want to be on a loyal client list, you want the focus to be on customer service, it's all at Williamson Cadillac. Get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle and experience a new Cadillac from your luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Easy to find, located on US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto. And what do they have, you ask? Well, how about this? The CT4, the CT5, the XT5, the XT6, and the new all-electric Lyriq, all in stock right now at Williamson Cadillac. And nobody, I mean nobody, will give you better customer service than Ed Williamson. Of course, right there, chirping in his ear to make sure it's always running smoothly, his lovely wife, Carol. As for Jermaine Chambers, former University of Miami wide receiver, he'll get you all set up in a flash, and you'll be out of there in a blur driving your new CT4, CT5, XT5. I'm in the XT4, maybe an XT6, or the all-new electric Lyriq. All from your luxury dealership located on US 1, just south of the Palmetto, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, happy to welcome you back to the show. Mario Cristobal rejoins us next week. Our show next week is on Wednesday, November the 20th. I'll be in Charleston, South Carolina. We've got basketball next Thursday and Friday. Thursday, I guess, at 12 o'clock. Friday, hopefully at 12 o'clock. Then back here for Wake Forest. Then back to Charleston, hopefully for a championship game. So next week, Mario Cristobal rejoins the show, and it will air on Wednesday night. Okay. Meanwhile, tonight, what we thought we would do, Tim Reynolds, the outstanding Associated Press writer who joins us on our pregame show, countdown to kickoff every week, sat down with the new president of the University of Miami to talk about the importance of athletics to the University of Miami, Joe Echevarria and Tim Reynolds, and they began their conversation on athletics this way.
The landscape has changed top to bottom. We're in an NIL era now. We know the university has committed more money than ever before to athletics. Why is it such an important arm of the university? It is an academic institution. Mm-hmm. It is a medical institution. It is a research institution. It is not a football team with a bunch of other stuff attached to it.
Correct.
But why does athletics matter so much, especially right now, to the university's goals, its ideals, its plans?
Yeah. And so athletics, for all institutions, you know, it depends on size. You know this, right? I'm not teaching you any of that. Athletics is always part of the student experience. Not the athletes themselves, but it's part of the environment, okay? Lots of kids, it's part of, like, intramural sports is part of it, like fraternities and sororities are part of it, like all the students. We have over 600 student organizations. Athletics is a critical part of a student experience. So then once you accept that it's part, because we're a university, we have 11 schools and colleges, and you recognize that the 52,000 undergrads who apply have an expectation that that's part of the experience. Put aside performance, just part of it. Then all you're deciding is, what do you want that to be? You're going to be in athletics. The Ivies are in athletics, right? All major universities are in athletics. It's just a function of what do you want it to be. So athletics is part of it. By history, not by anything. Then the next question is, what does excellence mean to you in athletics? And for us, good, bad, or indifferent, for 20 years of our 99 years, because I've been here 50, 20 of the 99, for 20 of my 50, the highest profile sport that the university had, which is football, not because we want it to be, because that's the interest commercially, right? When I was a kid, baseball was the number one sport. I'm a baseball kid, actually. But football has grown. The NFL wasn't what it was today. College football wasn't what it was today. Very different in those days when I was a youngster. But it's the number one. We've only been a high performing, let's just say high top 10. Let's just pick top 10 as a moniker for 20 of the years. When I was in school, we were 3-8 my first year. I always get the Sabins mixed up. We got Lou Saban. And Lou Saban got us to 6-5. And it was euphoria. Okay. When we were 6, it was euphoria. Okay. I remember it vividly being 6-5. I was with, who was I with? Reuben Carter. His last year was my first year. And he went on to play in the NFL. And I saw him, and we went on the field together. I said, God, you were my nose tackle. He went to play for the Denver Broncos. And then Don Lattimore was the next one. He was the next one. He lived on my floor in 68. And so there's a student part to this. There's a success part to this, and there's a brand. So because of that magical 20 years that we had, this unparalleled success that we had, we played for 10 championships. We're 5-5. And I remember all the losses. I can't exactly remember the wins, but I remember the 5 ones we didn't win. I remember those, okay? I talked to Gino about the Alabama game. I talked to Vinny about Penn State. I talked to Ken about Ohio State. I could talk to Vinny about Tennessee. You know, we got rolled in Tennessee. We went right down the field in the first position. I think Tennessee put 35 on us, and that was the end of that game. I could go through the losses better, but it became so magical, and I think part of it was we weren't a regional team. We played everybody, as Jimmy would say. Oh, we played Oklahoma, we played Michigan, we played BYU. We played because we were not a conference like it is today. And because we were a little bit of an independent for part of it, we became a national brand. And then the style of play. And then the personality of the team and the kids we attracted. We just became a national brand. There's nowhere I go in the world today when I don't wear my U attire that they go to U. Everywhere. Whether it's TSA, whether it's my partners in Hong Kong, they all know about the U. It was a magical 20 years. It's hard to put that genie back in the box and then say, but we're not going to focus on athletics because it has such a brand-enhancing capability to it. Tallahassee, Washington, everybody wants to talk about us when we're 9-0. Forget about the poll and all. It's hard. So if we're going to be in athletics and we have this historic brand that elevates the entire institution, then you need to pursue excellence. Just like you have to have excellence in health system and patient care, and I need excellence in academics. If we're gonna be in it, you need to. See, that's what we've learned in the practical world. Otherwise, get out. If you can't be excellent, get out.
Mario Cristobal, earlier this season, and it was right around the day that they announced that you were taking over on the permanent basis. He said, if not for Joe, I would not be here. What did that comment mean to you?
Well, it was heartfelt. I've come to know Mario and Jess and the boys. And it was a team effort. I was part of a larger team. And what it meant to me was personal in nature for me, Tim, and emotional for me. To hear Mario say it. Because, Mario's Mario. Offensive lineman, physically a big person. You standing in front of me, right, sitting, I'm not physically a big person. And to hear Mario say it that way was always, wow, I was part of something magical, no matter how this turns out. But then I quickly go back and I say, listen, we, not me by myself, the group of us, including the board, the larger faculty, those who were involved in this process, were pursuing excellence. And we needed to invest because the market had changed. it wasn't going to be what we did in that 20-year run. We could find these great kids from the local, because now everybody's coming to Florida to get, you know, Florida, Texas, California. If we did some stats, I suspect a disproportionate number of kids from football come from those three states, I'm guessing, with no scientific analysis. So everybody discovered Florida, and everybody's here. And it took a little more now to get there. So Mario saying it to me was heartfelt, and it reminded me that, you know, this is, we're in this together. This is part of the university. And Mario focuses on the student part of athlete and the athlete part of athlete. But he does recognize the enormous responsibility he has, that we all have, to represent the University of Miami. Because he's of the University of Miami himself. So it was a fabulous moment, very touching for me, just like when they gave me the game ball in the locker room, Matt McCoy, who was a large, large man, okay, lifted me like a feather. And I leave that, Matt, don't break me. Whatever you do. People say, what were you thinking? I was thinking he's going to break me. And he was so gentle with me. Okay. It was a joyous moment. It was one of those moments you celebrate. And then you move on. Because, you know, the fun is in the winning. But a lot of learning happens in the losing. Okay. The losing is what stays with you. The winning moves on. And Mario goes 1-0. So it was fantastic. It was one of the highlights of my professional life. I've had many. I've been blessed to have many. And I tell people all the time, there's nothing particularly great about me, Tim. But I work in the company of great people. Great people. At Deloitte, at the Bank of New York, where I'm the chair. At Pfizer, where I'm on the board. And at the University of Miami. And Mario is one of the great people.
And that is University of Miami President Joe Echevarria with Tim Reynolds. When we come back, we'll talk more about that conversation with Tim. Plus, we'll dive into the playoffs and where the University of Miami stands and all those juicy topics that happen right now. The good news about all of that is the University of Miami is right in the mix, right in the middle of all of it here on November the 13th. So that makes it very exciting for Hurricanes football, going to a place where they really haven't been in a long time. So we'll talk about that, the playoffs and Joe Echevarria and more with Tim Reynolds and DBJ, of course, all coming up right after this.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM, driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, back on the show. Delighted that you are with us. Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr., Tim Reynolds also with us. And a little roundtable discussion here. And Tim will begin with, we just heard an excerpt of your interview with the University of Miami President Joe Echevarria. And he's got a very, I think, very clear vision for why athletics is so important to the University of Miami. And welcome to the show, by the way.
Thank you guys for having me, as always. It was a great 45 minutes or so that I spent with President Echevarria last week. It was, I did not expect us to talk that long, for starters. He's a busy man. I can't believe he gave us that kind of time. He does have a clear vision for everything. Nothing is without, you know, everything has a purpose right now. He has a reason for everything. He has people he leans on for everything. He speaks very directly, but nothing's off the cuff. Nothing is reactionary. He's new to this job, but he's not new to the role. He's been a leader at Miami for so long. It's almost like this is the job he was meant to have. He's been a leader in industry for so long. Being a university president right now is not the same job as we've grown up, as we've all thought it was for decades, for generations, really. It doesn't have to be an academic. This is a man, everything he touches turns to gold. He is the perfect person, I think, for this job right now. And he has a vision not just for athletics, but for how he wants the provost and the academic leaders in the university to conduct themselves, and the faculty and the students, and of course the health system, which we all know he's been leading for a number of years. It's just the right move at the right time for Miami, and the fact that he's a football fan is just an added bonus for Hurricanes fans.
Yep.
Tim, how about the fact that he graduated from the University of Miami, and 50 years later, you know, he's now the president. I think it it's no better accomplishment can be had than that by a former Hurricane, right, and a current Hurricane, of course. But to think that's it's almost a fairy tale in a lot of senses, with 50 years of hard work and struggle and success from the beginning to now.
Well, it gets even better when you talk about Joe Echevarria. Like, you know, where he has spent the most of his professional life was as an accountant for Deloitte, and then, of course, he became the company's CEO. You know, he interviewed for that job with Deloitte in 1977 as an undergraduate at the University of Miami. Deloitte came to the University of Miami to have that interview with Joe Echevarria. I mean, this is a place that, I mean, the way he tells the story, like, every hair on my arms, maybe a little TMI for you guys, I'm sorry, every hair on my arms was stood up. I mean, he tells stories with such passion and such detail. He grew up in the projects in the South Bronx, 8.3 miles from 30 Rock, 30 Rockefeller Center, as everybody calls it, 30 Rock, where he had the office at Deloitte, where he was the CEO on the 47th story of a great building. You know, 30 Rock's one of the most famous buildings in the world. It took the University of Miami to show him how to go those 8.3 miles from the South Bronx to the center of Manhattan. And what he has shown, and obviously we know that the university has a number of students from the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, from that part of the country. We know that, you know, for a lot of reasons, the climate, it's an unbelievable school, it's a beautiful campus. We have a lot of students who come from that part of the country. But they can always point to Joe Echevarria's story and say, I can become a titan in Manhattan. I can have the best view in what many people believe is the best city in the world because of what I've learned at the University of Miami. When you have a university president who can say, yeah, I'm saying that, but that's just not cute words for a poster. This is my life story. When you have a university president who can say that, it just has so much power. And it's just an unbelievable the DNA that led him to this place, the storyline that led him to this place, it's a Disney movie in some regards. It's just an unbelievable story. And every detail he shares is a little bit more perfect than the last detail. It's crazy.
The timing is also perfect, is it not? Because look where we are in college athletics. This requires somebody who's really good with numbers. Because as we know, the conference realignment is a big part of college athletics. It's probably not done. And in the crosshairs is the ACC and the future of the University of Miami. And the wild speculation, whether or not the ACC stays together, whether or not we have a super conference, whether or not we have 60 teams, 80 teams, whatever it is. I think the University of Miami's got themselves the right person in there leading them and pointing them in the right direction.
Well, a lot of the right people. But if there is ever a day for realignment to affect Coral Gables, Florida, how do I say this delicately? There are the right leaders at Miami, one to make the right decision on what would happen next if anything were to happen. And secondly, and this is the most important part, it's not just going to be one conference that comes. If the University of Miami ever, for lack of a better term, becomes a free agent, the Big Ten will come, the SEC will come. If there is a new conference to be formed, everyone wants to do business in Florida. Everyone would want to do business, I think, with a guy like Joe Echevarria. Everyone would want to be able to play games at Hard Rock Stadium. Everyone would want to be part of this camp. I mean, the campus. Guys, I walked around the campus for like an hour this week. Well, last week now, sorry. Or it's already last week was the interview. I walked around the campus for an hour. Just walked around. Didn't stop anywhere. Didn't talk to anybody. Just walked around. Didn't take notes. Didn't take pictures. The campus is unbelievable. The campus, it has never looked this good. And they're not close to done with what they're doing. If Miami becomes a free agent in the college space, everyone is going to come for them. And Joe Echevarria has a 40-year history in business of making the right decision and the best financial, the smartest decision for now, the smartest decision for the long term. Miami is in a great place. And by the way, he speaks with great reverence for Julio Frank, for Donna Shalala,
for the people that occupied that office mm-hmm. before him. He knows he's only one of seven to occupy that office now on a full-time basis. And certainly President Shalala guided the university through some rocky times. President Frank took the school's incredible health program and made it so much better and allowed others like Joe Echevarria to get involved and make it so much better. Now Joe is going to make the place better than he found it. And he found it in a pretty good spot.
The other thing, Tim, is you when you think about today's world of college sports slash football, you really do have to have a businessman involved. I mean, as a head coach, he has to understand it, and as an athletic director, and I think even more so for the president, and he certainly fits that mold.
Yeah, I think getting the former CEO of perhaps the most renowned accounting firm in the free world to be the guy trying to figure out how you spend your money, I think it was a pretty good choice by Miami. I don't know how you guys feel about it. I mean, I asked him the stadium question. We talked about a lot of things. I finally said, you know, will there ever be a stadium? You know, it's what many fans want. Not all. I think a lot of our fans, maybe a more silent majority, are very happy with the situation at Hard Rock. Yes, it's difficult for many people to get to from Coral Gables, South Miami. I get all that. I understand all that. But the stadium is an absolute palace, and that can't be overlooked either. So I said to the president, what about a stadium? And he's like, we've got the money. But wouldn't you rather I spend my $600 million on something that we're going to use more than six or seven Saturdays a year?
Yep.
Wouldn't I rather be upgrading this? Look around our campus. Look what we're spending our money on. We're a nonprofit, but we like to make money so we can reinvest it in ourselves and continue to grow in our research, in our facilities, in our infrastructure. You know, he looks at it as the University of Miami, in his eyes, in his estimation, services 50,000 people directly every day. 50,000 people come through the gates of the university somehow, some way every day, whether that's students, whether it's alums, whatever it is, 50,000 people a day. And he's got to make them happy in a number of ways. A football stadium on six Saturdays would be great. It would be incredible. Eight Saturdays next year. We got eight home games next year, guys. That's a lot of roundtables for the group, by the way.
Yes, it is.
We've got a lot of roundtables next season. Yes, it would be great. It would be ideal. It would be wonderful for a lot of reasons. But isn't the smarter move to take that $500 or $600 or $700 million and do exactly what the university is doing with it? That absolutely is the smarter move.
In 10 years, that might be the number for players. That's another subject.
Well,
all right, you are the
maybe not centers like Don Bailey Jr., but for quarterbacks, the number's only going to go up.
You are the numbers guy. How do we feel about where the University of Miami is right now in this hunt for the playoffs? They were ranked ninth, seeded fourth, because the committee put them in as the winner of the championship game. But Miami's path is clear, right, Tim? Win two and they're in. What about the other side? Is it SMU? They still got to win three, I think, right?
You know, I think Miami looks at it as they've got to win three. Miami's got to win three to get to a bye. I think if Miami gets to the ACC championship game, they're in. I do think
in the playoffs.
I think they're in the playoff. If they get to Charlotte, they are in the playoff. If they win, obviously in Charlotte, and well, assuming they go 3-0 in their next three, and the last one is Charlotte. They could still go 1-1 and get to Charlotte, and that opens up an entirely different kettle of fish that let's not get into now.
Yeah, let's not put that one out there.
Let's not put that one out there. Assuming they beat Wake Forest, assuming they beat Syracuse, and then assuming they beat SMU or whomever it is in the ACC title game, they will be seeded in the top four.
Yeah, that gets them.
I don't know, but that gets them to bye. Yes.
The tricky part would be, Don, to lose the championship game, and then you're sweating it out the next day on selection. I just think that they're gonna go to the SEC and the Big Ten.
Lose three. It's going to be really tough to take a three-loss SEC team without a conference championship. Sorry, Don. It's going to be take a three-loss team that doesn't go to a conference title game over a two-loss Miami team that did go to the SEC title game. It's going to be really difficult for them to jump.
I like your argument.
I'll take it. I'll take it in 2 seconds. Tim, Ward.
I'm sorry. Hang on. Let's just say this. If you had told us going to Gainesville on August 31st, the University of Miami would be 9-1, beat Wake, beat Syracuse, you're in the ACC title game, and then you beat someone else to go to the playoffs. Who would have signed up right then and there? I take that gig 11 times out of 10. 11 times out of 10, I take that deal. They're in a wonderful position. Yes, the loss to Georgia Tech stung. No pun intended, to the Yellow Jackets. It stung. It was a bad loss in a lot of ways. They left a billion plays on the field. The bye week, I think, comes at a perfect time for this team. We all would have signed up for this 10 weeks ago. Absolutely. Yep. No question.
Tim, is Cam Ward the lock for the Heisman Trophy?
No. Not a lock.
Who's his biggest competition?
I think it's Travis Hunter.
Hmm.
Okay. I think the fascination with Travis Hunter being a great two-way player, just an unbelievable athlete. You know, it's East versus West, right? It's Miami versus Colorado. You've got the Deion fans and the Deion haters. And I don't understand the Deion haters. I really don't. Like, it was news to people that Deion Sanders were talking about. It's news to people that Deion Sanders is a little bit brash sometimes. We didn't know this 35 years ago. I think it's going to be a heck of a vote. I think it's going to be a heck of a horse race. I think it will be decided on the field. I do think Cam's trajectory right now, on pace for something close to 5,000 yards, especially if they play three more games before the ballots go in. Remember that.
Well, I was going to say, does the championship game count?
Well, it won't to some people. And then I'm kind of the argument that apples should be apples. It really should be the 12 games against the 12 games, to me. It would be unfortunate if Cam Ward, the Colorado people would be up in arms. Let's say it is Cam Ward versus Travis Hunter for 1-2. Or really anybody else. If Cam Ward gets a 13th game to make his final argument, and none of the other three guys are in a championship game, I don't know how fair that is. Also, is it fair to Cam Ward if he gets, quote-unquote, held to 200 yards and a touchdown in that game? It's a championship game. Odds are you're going to see somebody good. You're not going to expect your quarterback to throw for 500 yards and six touchdowns in a championship game, because the odds are the team lining up across from you is pretty darn good. So I think it should be more of a regular season award. That said, I do believe he's the favorite. I believe if the vote was today, I think he should win. I don't think there's a player who has meant more to his team. Not that that's the matter. Not that is the decided factor. I think him and the young man from Ole Miss have had similar offensive numbers, but what Cam has done in the dramatic moments. Yeah, he strip sack against Georgia Tech. Okay, he got strip sack, which was not entirely all on him. How about the Cal game? A lot of other guys at a lot of other schools in a lot of other years, they have a game like the Cal game. They have the last 18 minutes like the Cal game. They don't even wait to New York. They just hand him the trophy after the game. I believe he is the front runner. I don't think he's a lock. But I think if he keeps playing the way he plays, it's going to be really difficult for somebody to take that from his hands.
I agree with you. I think if he wins out, he's going to win the Heisman. But we'll see. Two more games, two big games coming up. Tim, thank you for joining us. Thank you for allowing us to use an excerpt of your interview with the president. And enjoy your bye week. And then we got another roundtable lined up for you on the 23rd.
Bye week? I've got hockey. I got Greg Popovich. I got a Panther team. Bye week. Goodbye.
All right. You enjoy all that. We'll enjoy the bye week. All right. That's Tim Reynolds with us. Don Bailey Jr. and I will continue. Scott Howard, former University of Miami assistant basketball coach, now a scout for the Denver Nuggets, will join us next. He also had a conversation with the University of Miami basketball team, and maybe we can twist Scott's arm a little bit to let us know what he told them about how the pros look at college kids and maybe the one thing they don't understand when it comes to getting drafted in terms of who gets drafted. Sometimes it has to do with something other than your own numbers. We'll talk with Scott about that as we continue on the hotline in hour number two.